want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, don't you? If I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for no blood, blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show. I'm your host, Dave Hodges, and we come to you live in this venue, or whatever venue you're listening to us on, every Sunday evening from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern, and that's 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the West Coast, and we really appreciate you people back east staying up, but this is a whole lot better than our old time, isn't it? Our thanks to Virginia Farver for joining us, and the email response we've been getting over the break here has been overwhelming, and I really appreciate all the kudos you guys are passing out to Virginia. Her information is good. We'll work also on supplementing her information with that of Katie Singer, and I will work on facilitating an interview with Katie in the near future. Now, what we got in store for you in this half hour is going to be equally as riveting. We have Dr. Stephen DeShiro, and he's going to be interviewed by our own health reporter, Katie Whalen. So, Katie, let me bring you in here, and I'll let you introduce the good doctor, and I'll just step out of the way and let you guys educate our audience.
Thank
Hello, Katie.
You, Dave. This is going to be a great show, and it's so... can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Yep, you're good.
Okay, good. Good. We're having a little sound trouble, but we're good. But this is going to tie in so great with the last couple of hours. And I have a good friend by the name of Dr. Stephen DeShiro here in Denver. And I've worked with him. He's been working with me and answers my questions and really helps me out understanding the whole field of energy medicine. Now, anyone listening, last week we covered a testimony of one of Dr. Tashiro's patients, Kathy France, who had gone through a holistic therapy with him using energy medicine. So this is the incredible world of energy medicine. And I want to introduce Dr. DeShiro, who's worked in the healthcare field for over 40 years. And during that time, he's helped thousands of people overcome chronic health conditions. His first degree in the health sciences was a master's degree in clinical nutrition from the University of Bridgeport. He graduated from Palmer West Chiropractic College in 98 and has extensive postgraduate training in functional medicine, nutrition, functional neurology, applied kinesiology, and field control therapy, which is what we'll be talking about tonight. And Dr. DeShiro has a lifelong interest in energy medicine and mind-body connections, and specializes helping people with chronic conditions including fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, endocrine imbalances, thyroid and adrenal, autoimmune disorders, irritable bowel disorders, neurological disorders, and immune weakness. And he practices right here in Lakewood, Colorado. He's been here 16 years, lives with his wife Patricia and their dog. And I'll tell you, Dr. DeShiro practices what he preaches. I mean, his hobbies include exercising, golfing, skiing, surfing, hiking. He's always gone doing something when I try to call him. So welcome to the show, Dr. DeShiro.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you for having me.
Oh, this is going to be great. So let's introduce the audience. We've talked about energy medicine before, but if you can just describe the foundations of energy medicine and how different it is from modern medicine, we can start out with the basics there.
Great. Great place to start. We can distinguish the two approaches using the words vitalistic, which refers to holistic and energy medicine, and mechanistic. Conventional healthcare is mechanistic. It sees the body as a machine that has parts that wear out, eventually have to be replaced. Vitalistic approaches energy medicine recognizes that the body is self-governing and self-healing, and that there is a whole, perfect core within each person, and that that core has a rate of energetic electrical vibration. Actually, all the cells do, and that is the body's core perfect state. Energy medicine is the process by which we amplify that core perfection that's already present using a wide range of modalities so that the physical experience can then match that inner perfection. A mentor of mine had a great way of describing this process. His saying was, what's wrong with you is beside the point. What's right with you is the point. So energy medicine is all about amplifying
good.
That core perfection using a variety of modalities, which ultimately puts the power back in the hands of the patient, because it's an inside-out process. The healing occurs because of the patient's innate, inborn intelligence and that wholeness that is already present.
Now explain innate intelligence.
Innate intelligence is what allows our body to heal if we cut ourselves, for example. Even if we don't do anything to heal the cut, it will heal on its own. Innate intelligence is operating right now. We're digesting our meal without thinking about it. As we take breaths in, the oxygen goes into the blood. The blood circulates throughout the body. The oxygen leaves the blood, goes into the cells, nourishes the cells, is used to create energy. So that all happens without our thinking about it mentally. It's happening all the time. That's an example of innate intelligence at work.
So modern medicine is based on, from what I understand, modern medicine is focused primarily on chemistry, and energy medicine obviously is based on energy. Couple questions here. Can the two coexist, and how? What would that look like?
The two can coexist because ultimately chemistry, as is energy, are part of our makeup as people. We're physical, we're chemical, we're energetic, we're electrical. So there's a wholeness here. The difficulty with allopathic conventional healthcare has been the omission of the most important science, which is physics, because physics tells us about the nature of matter. It tells us about the nature of our bodies. And ultimately, our bodies are electrical, energetic in nature. The energy field emanated or created by the DNA and the electrons moving around the DNA of our bodies creates a field. We call that the quantum energy field. The quantum energy field controls chemical fields, which then control physical fields. And so in energy medicine, we want to focus on the point of greatest leverage, which is that core quantum energy field, which again is the crux of who we are as people.
So what I'm hearing is energy medicine should be approached first and foremost, and modern medicine, which is chemistry medicine, or we could go as far as suppression medicine. We don't even want to go there, but really energy medicine should be approached initially, and we do it backwards.
Exactly. We work from the outside in, whereas energy medicine and holistic care is about an inside-out approach.
Mm-hmm. So, say I walked in, let's make it practical to the people listening. We walk into a doctor's office and we have, say, something like an autoimmune disease like fibromyalgia. Modern medicine would approach the symptoms. They would try to relieve the pain of the patients or give some sort of medication. What would your approach be to someone walking in with some sort of autoimmune disease like fibromyalgia?
Okay, well, if it's an autoimmune disorder, we have to understand that the body is not supposed to be attacking itself. The immune system is supposed to protect us. So if the immune cells are attacking the body, there's a reason for that. We call that trigger. triggers for autoimmunity can be what's called dysregulation. That means other systems in the body not functioning properly, whether it's GI, sugar regulation, endocrine system, hormonal system. So if any of those systems are out of balance, that can trigger the immune system to then attack healthy tissue. And there's also the issue of what we call an antigen or a foreign molecule. This could be a chemical, a metal, environmental toxin. It could be an infection, yeast, mold, virus, bacteria, parasite, candida. And it could be electromagnetic fields. EMFs, toxic EMFs, can be a sole cause of autoimmune disorders. And so in an energy medicine approach, we don't look at the surface symptom and try to patch it over, cover it up. We have to delve deeply into the body, identifying the underlying triggers for the immune system being out of balance, whether it's toxicity, dysregulation, electromagnetic fields. It could even be the nature of a person's thought, feeling, and emotion. So we have to look at all aspects of the being, identify where the imbalances are, and then go to the deepest core level possible of that area of imbalance. So let's say that we identify that a person's autoimmune condition is due to a disruption in normal bowel and GI function. And we can't just stop there and try to patch the bowel. We have to look more deeply and identify the underlying reason. Is it an infection? Is it a metal? Is it electromagnetic field exposure? Is it a toxic emotion that's stuck in the tissue? Once we identify the core area of imbalance and correct it, bring greater balance, we begin a process by which the body begins to release those stored layers of toxicity and stress. We begin to unwind those patterns of chronic imbalance, leading eventually to increased function, increased health, balance, and wellness.
Well, and what I'm learning with all this too is it really includes the patient in their own process. Whereas if we walk into a medical office, we've turned ourselves over to a system, a particular doctor, a particular drug. We've turned it over. We are given a prescription, we take it, and that's it. But in energy medicine, we become part of the process. So there's a real commitment, and that's what I've tried to get across to people, that your body was designed to always be in a state of health. And so explain to the listeners how approaching your chronic or acute issues in a holistic manner is different than approaching the same thing using modern medicine.
Yes, again, conventional healthcare is an outside-in approach. Holistic energy medicine is an inside-out approach. And when you go to the core aspect of who we are as people, that can be defined as our thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And in order for the outer body to be whole, the deeper inner core, which can be characterized by the nature of our thoughts, feelings, and emotions, has to be whole. And so this delves into the area of mind-body medicine. Our bodies are a reflection of our internal states. Our body chemistry is a reflection of our emotional states. And we know this from practical experience. When a person is angry or upset, it reflects in their physical expression. And so in order to begin the process from the starting point, we have to uncover the totality of imbalances in these most core areas.
So when you're working with people, you're not just treating one thing. You're actually getting to know them, and they're getting to know themselves. That's the great thing about this. They're actually becoming part of the healing process, the empowering of changing their diet, watching what they're exposing themselves to. They become fine-tuned to what brought them to this state.
Exactly. That's what I love about holistic care and energy medicine, because it's very empowering to the patient, to the individual who goes through this process of self-discovery, discovering that within them, within their body, within their innate intelligence is the answers for the healing that they seek.
Mm-hmm.
For me,
now,
a su- the successful process of healing for a patient is when they end up recognizing that they did something awesome in that healing process. It's not something that I've done to them, but a healing potential has been awakened within, supported by their responsible actions relative to diet and lifestyle, and this is what leads to a new experience of health and healing.
Right, right. And that's why they may only come to you once, whereas in modern medicine, it's pretty much a cash cow. And that's your hope, is that they come to you once through a long process and an involved process, and they walk away a healthier, a truly healthier person. So explain just real briefly, we've got a couple minutes. When someone walks in, people are listening, they're like, okay, well, energy medicine, what do you hook them up to wires? What does this look like? What, describe kinesiology and how you actually test tissue. Because I don't think people understand what it looks like. It sounds sort of vague.
Well, I'll talk about field control therapy, which is the primary energy medicine modality that I now use. Field control therapy was developed by Dr. Yurkovsky, a board-trained medical doctor in New York City. It's all about identifying tissues in the body, organs that are weakened, stressed, and inflamed, and identifying the underlying causative agent, toxic element, infection, electromagnetic field. The testing is done using vials that contain water containing the electrical signal of healthy tissue. These vials are placed on a metal plate which amplifies that electrical signal. The signal travels through an electrical wire into a probe, metal probe, which the patient holds. The signal coming from that vial goes into the patient's body, and if the signal coming from the patient's body matches that healthy signal, the patient stays in a state of balance. If not, because the patient's tissue is weakened, they go into a stress response. A muscle that was strong goes weak, or legs that were even become uneven. So that's how we identify the tissue that is weakened, stressed, and inflamed. We use a similar process to identify the underlying causative agent, and then we make remedies carrying the electrical frequency of the healthy tissue. These are taken one drop at a time at various intervals. And we also make remedies for the toxic infectious elements that are causing that distress to that tissue. And the patient will typically go through several of these sessions over the course of 6 months before reaching a point of stability, and then go into more of a wellness phase where we see them maybe quarterly. They continue to take the remedies, and people that have done that and are now in wellness typically need less medication, surgery, hospitalizations than their peers, even in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. So this is a powerful method for reducing symptoms, improving function, but ensuring long-term health and vitality.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was going to say. I know that Dr. Yurkovsky, who found field control, discovered field control therapy, has had great success, along with yourself, on so many of these diseases. Just, and we read one off last week. And she's
that's
not even
right.
her treatments, and she's having amazing success.
That's right. The range of conditions which this therapy has been helpful for is all-inclusive of pretty much all of the chronic health disorders we experience in today's society, because they're all such a reflection of poor lifestyle and toxic environment. Autoimmunity, neurological disorders, heart disease, mm-hmm. migraines, addictive states, infectious conditions, Lyme, thyroid disorders, metal toxicity. There's pretty much
Katie, let me... Excuse me, Doctor. Katie, let me interject this real quick. We're going to blow through our bottom of the hour break. This is too good. Mm-hmm. We'll have an extra 5 minutes with Dr. Teixeira, Katie, so because I think we're coming to a nexus here, and I don't want to interrupt it by a commercial break.
Right.
So, okay.
Okay, okay. Sure, continue on, Dr. Teixeira, with the success that of all the diseases. I mean, you're talking from colds to cancer. When you're going in, you first identify the weakened tissue, and then you start honing in specifically on that. And then describe how these remedies what the remedies actually do. We were talking about innate intelligence. What do these remedies do over time to the tissue or the organ that is weakened?
Okay, so innate intelligence, again, is that template of perfection that's present in our bodies. It's actually present in the DNA of every cell. Over time, through environmental toxicity and various stresses, that resonant perfection changes the resonant vibration of our cells and tissues, changes from that perfect state. When we take a remedy that's vibrating at the frequency, the vibratory frequency, let's say, of healthy brain tissue, we take a drop of that liquid that carries that signal. The body is mostly water, so that signal travels throughout the water content of the body. Now, the principle of resonance means that that perfect signal is now vibrating throughout the body, and so our tissues begin vibrating at that perfect rate. In this case, the tissues of the brain. So just like two tuning forks next to each other, if one is struck, the other, without being struck, will start to vibrate. Mm-hmm. Or two guitars, one G-string is plucked on one guitar, the same G-string will vibrate on the other guitar. That's resonance. So that's the principle by which these remedies work and help the body change its vibratory rate back to that perfect vibratory pattern.
Okay, and if you have someone with a cancer, obviously their treatment's going to take longer. It takes a lot of patience, commitment on the part of the patient, and over time the body wants to heal. It's always going to be moving in the direction of healing. Because I remember asking you one time, well, what if the weakened tissue pull that newly introduced vibration down? And you said what?
Again, the core perfection in the body. It's the drive in our bodies towards health and wellness is the strongest drive there is. And so just the slightest encouragement, in this example, through the use of a remedy that has that perfect vibration, will kick that vibration in the cell in the body into gear. And as you were saying, ultimately it is a process. It's not an overnight fix, because we're not concerned about suppressing symptoms. We want to wake up that core intelligence and allow its expression to be apparent through the whole body. And ultimately, it's that...
What will it... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, ultimately, it is that core intelligence that directs what is done in order to help the person heal. And so that's why, at the end of the process, whatever healing occurs is the handiwork of innate intelligence. The person realizes then that they have this innate
What exactly would it do to, say, a cancer cell? I mean, what specifically happens to a cancer cell that's been introduced to a healthy vibration?
This goes back to the original research of Orrin Rife, who developed the Rife machine. He did his research using energy frequencies, in this case light, in order to cause cancer cells to rupture. His initial research was done quite successfully with uncurable, supposedly, cancer cases. He actually did his research at USC. And so the right electrical frequency, or light frequency in his case, would actually destroy the cancer cell.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, I know we're again running out of time. There's so much to cover. I'd love to have you back. There are some machines, portable units. There are things we can do to... We were talking about EMFs. I know that's a huge issue, and probably as time goes on with all the technology, we're going to find a lot more diseases, as you've heard in the last 2 hours, stemming from this. What do you know? Tell the audience about a memonizer machine and what exactly that does. And
simply, the memonizer is a device that has been developed to protect us from electromagnetic fields. It does that by reversing the direction of rotation of the vibratory pattern of an EMF. Electromagnetic fields are harmful to the body because the rate of vibration and direction of vibration is opposite to what is natural to the body. So the MEMM device restores, it reverses that abnormal direction of rotation to what is more congruent with the body. So the EMF loses its power to harm the body.
And we were talking before, yesterday we talked, because my concern was, you put one of these little units on your smart meter or on a particular, you can wear one on your wrist, they have all different sizes, and they're pretty reasonably priced, but it doesn't affect the output of the electricity. All, it has nothing to do with the electricity, it has to do with changing the direction of the actual waves, correct?
That's correct. It doesn't disrupt the electrical system in the house. It just provides us protection from the fields that the electricity is generating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dr. DeCiro, before we have to let you go, I wanted to ask you a question real quick, Dr. DeCiro. Do you think the reason that the regular medicine, mainstream medicine, doesn't embrace this is because they haven't found a way to monetize it?
Absolutely, because ultimately we're talking about the healing potential that's innate in each person, and that's what we really want to amplify. And, of course, you can't put a patent on that. You can't sell it. And so there's no profit interest there.
Okay, terrific. Well, Dr. DeCiro and Katie, I want to thank you for this very interesting segment. Dr. DeCiro, I hope you'll come back because I feel like we just barely scratched the surface with this, I hate to call it new technology because it's not, but it's new to most of our listening audience. And thanks so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Katie, good job.
Can you real quick just give your information out?
Oh, yes. Office is in Lakewood.
Can you give your information out?
Phone number is 303-985-5540. You can see a 13-minute video on YouTube showing me demonstrating FCT. Go to YouTube and then type in Steve DeCiro FCT and a 13-minute video will pop up. You can also call our office and request a DVD.
Okay, very good. Great. Dr. DeCiro, thanks so much for joining us. To everybody else, stay with us because we're going to forego this bottom-of-the-hour commercial break except to say this segment is brought to you by Storable Food at foodforliberty.com/Hodges. And on that note, I was introduced to our next guest, Lewis Arthur, and he is a person who cares about veterans, decided to do something about veterans. And Susan Knowles, who writes for Glenn Beck, has been a guest on this show, and she and I have done some behind-the-scenes work together in trying to combat some of the evils of CPS in various states. And she brought Lewis's organization, Veterans on Patrol, to our attention. And I met Lewis by phone for the first time last night, and I think he has a message worth hearing about, because regardless of how you feel about a veteran's mission while they were in active duty, we can't discount the fact that these people do what very few of us have the courage and the ability to do, which is to be our warrior class, and we need to be taking care of them rather than discarding them like some piece of garbage, such as what the Veterans Administration has been doing. So joining us on the phone is Lewis Arthur. Lewis, thank you for joining us.
Yes, sir. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing terrific, and I think what you're doing is so admirable, and I have shared your story with many people I've spoken to today. But let's just start from the very beginning. We've got about 15 minutes, but let's start about what made you start this organization and briefly tell us what it's about.
Well, our family runs three ministries now. They're all SSOs, which means they're self-sacrificing organizations. We pay out of pocket for everything. We don't have any employees. We're not paid ourselves. And we have our First Amendment 100%. No one can take that away from us because we don't receive tax breaks and we don't have a tax credit or a tax status. But our mission at first was with Preppers and Patriots, was to prepare families in the event of a disaster. How do you survive that disaster especially for those with children. You know, you have someone dependent upon you. If it's just you, that's great. You know, I mean, you don't have the burden I have because there's a six-year-old girl running around here in Tucson that depends on her daddy. So we started forming freedom shelters across the state of North Carolina. And halfway through the first adventure we took as a family into forming a ministry, we became aware that 22 veterans committed suicide every day. And this was an article we read on the Huffington Post, and we went and did extensive research, and we found out that the report released by the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, which is a government agency, excluded 21 states, including Texas and California. So we're looking at the number they gave us, and the bare minimum is 22. So 22 veterans commit suicide every day in America. That's over 8,000 a year. So in 1 year, we've lost more warfighters to suicide than we have lost in 10 years of actual combat on the ground. And everyone needs to think about that for a second. In 1 year, more of our warfighters gave up on themselves and their loved ones around them and took their own life than we've lost in 10 years of war. So we started launching a massive awareness campaign because, you know, I'm the brother of an Army. My brother's in the Army. My father's in was in the Navy. And I do come from a military family. So I never elected to serve, but when we got that information, you know, and I was talking to my wife, I said, well, who's going to protect our freedom shelters? You know, I'm not a militia guy, and a lot of our militias have gone off kilter. They've lost focus of what they're supposed to be doing. Who's going to protect all this land we have and all these shelters we built? Well, the veterans, because the veterans have been trained. They're not just killing machines. They're defensive in nature. They're defending something. Everyone thinks they're going out there to kill someone. No, they're not. They're defending something, an idea. Even if liberty and freedom, the way it's portrayed in America these days, we all know it's fabricated and it's an illusion. But they're still defending and dying for an idea. So we're looking at the veteran suicides. We started another campaign, Walking for the Forgotten, where I would march on the highways with a flag, and I'd wear an 80-pound pack, and I would live on the streets, raise awareness for veteran suicides. I would go 2 weeks at a time, come back home for a little while, go 2 weeks again. I covered the East Coast, and we met so many veterans, and then we found so many in crisis. So then we expanded to, okay, well, all right, well, first, let's find the mothers of every soldier who committed suicide. So first, we can tell them, thank you, we're sorry for what happened, but also, we tell them, we're going to make sure your son or daughter is not forgotten. And we incorporated Moms of the 22 into our ministry, and we have so many wonderful mothers that would love to have a 60-minute special to tell America the pain they still go through this day, the pain that, and it is, they're suffering silently while everyone else gets in an uproar over who's going to be the next president, who's going to be the next senator, you know, who's going to be the next quarterback for this football team, who's Mr. Caitlin Bruce Jenner. I mean, everything. We get in an uproar over everything but their sons and daughters that have paid the price. So
I'd like to get into direct intervention that you guys do on the street. I know in Arizona you've got two active chapters, one in Tucson and one in Phoenix. And let me just kind of lay out where I'd like to go. You've also talked about how the veterans are victimized on streets like Camelback Road, which is a major road here in Phoenix, by a group called Black Lives Matter and the gangsters associated with them. Let's just go there. Let's tell our listening audience about what you told me last night.
Well, on the beginning stages of a 22-day walkabout through Maricopa County, which has the worst-ranked VA in the nation, and one of the highest suicide rates for veterans. Don't forget Thomas Murphy drove into the VA parking lot, blew his brains out with a letter protesting the VA and their treatment of veterans with depression and suicidal tendencies. I was in the early stages of a 22-day walkabout being homeless. A camp I set up on Camelback came under attack. Of course, I had a Veteran Lives Matter sign and a 10-foot pole in the middle of the field with an American flag illuminated. The people who attacked the camp tried to rob the old people. One of them was a Vietnam veteran, Nash, of his phone, which he didn't even have because his phone was stolen earlier. And they started beating them. And I took my pipe out of my bag and I laid out the biggest one that was out there. Hit him again when he tried to get up. Everybody ran. Police came. They were more interested in me hitting the guy when he was getting off the ground, not understanding that I was the only sober one out there. And you have four guys running away. And by the way, here comes seven more. And, you know, it was just... We got the story, and the veterans that are homeless was telling us how, and many of them were paralyzed. Everyone, America needs to understand, we got five paralyzed veterans that are either amputated or they're in a wheelchair off of the streets that were homeless. These kids would go and knock them over in their wheelchair, kick them in the head, and take everything out of their pockets. They were little punks. And they would go out and they would victimize the most defenseless people in the neighborhood. They don't go after children. Well, America will get in an uproar. We'll go after a homeless man. Because even if you find out later that homeless man happens to be a veteran, good luck. Because by then you've got all these other distractions. You don't even care about what you were first outraged over. And, you know, we formed a program to find our homeless vets and get them off of the streets, veterans on patrol. And as a veteran advocate, I look to the combat veterans who answered the call. There was over 70 in one night. We took over 12 square blocks in Phoenix. Told everyone, Phoenix PD, pushed all the dope dealers out, MS-13s, the Serenios, everyone. Get out of here. Stay out of our AO. Go do what you want outside. And then we started pulling in our homeless and getting them off the streets. Privately funded, not accepting a penny from people. If people come by and drop off a few bucks in cash donation, well, that goes to ICE, or that goes to the dinner for the homeless, or this veteran needs a pair of shoes. Well, every dollar must go to those we serve. None of my staff is paid. None of them. They sacrifice their own time to go out. Many of them are veterans. So many of those veterans actually had serious PTSD and traumatic brain injury episodes to where they thought they were going to kill themselves. Now they're out here on the streets with us, and they're finding their brothers and sisters. We put them at the forefront. Any veteran who's trying to assimilate into our nation, as apathetic as it is, they're going to need two items, a battle buddy and a mission. And it doesn't matter what the rest of the nation does. They're programmed to have a mission in front of them and a battle buddy right next to them. And with Veterans on Patrol, we have combat veterans and non-combat veterans, veterans with PTSD, that are coming together to help their brothers and sisters on the streets. Then you have veteran advocates like myself and the wonderful people around me and our staff. We're pulling in civilians and letting everyone know, while you fight over the left and the right, while you fight over gay and straight, while you fight over Christian and Muslim, there are war fighters suffering on the streets, and you are ignoring them. Let's take care of them first, and then we'll go back to the table, and we can fight all we want about anything anyone wants. But until we take care of our veterans, we had no leg to stand on.
You shared something with me last night. In addition to the suicide rate, that the exceeded by that are the number of sexual assaults suffered by these groups. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, Military sexual trauma, it's MST. It's an actual diagnosis, which is a service-related benefit for a disability with a soldier that's been discharged from the military. And what MST is someone who's been sexually traumatized while serving in the military. Now, once you sign up, you know, you have guarantees, you have rights, you have certain clauses you must abide by. Well, so does those who made you sign that piece of paper. And what I call it is writing a blank check. They are being raped. That's what everyone needs to understand. The men in our military, 53% of the victims of rape in the military are men. 38 sexual assaults per day since we've removed Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And we're so inclined to be politically correct, afraid of offending somebody. Well, my intention in speaking the truth as I see it is not to offend anyone. So I don't worry about offending them. They're my neighbors. They need me. I'm going to be there for them. In fact, the first thing they learn about who I am is I accept them the way they are. Because we're in America. Liberty is for everyone. We should love and build one another up, not hate and tear one another down. And when you look at what's going on in the military, not only do you have a 3 to 4 times higher suicide rate than 22 per day amongst the veterans, not only do you have 38 sexual assaults in the military per day, not only do you have 53% of the victims being raped in the military are men on men, not only do you have 9 out of combat veterans are divorced within 5 years, imagine that, 9 out of 10 lose their families while I still have mine. And my wife and I, and we have a child, we've been married 7 years, we have a 6-year-old. I still have my family, but there's no combat veteran, 1 out of 10 might make the statistic that I enjoy. I have a problem with that, and I don't know why the rest of America doesn't have a problem with that. They're so busy fighting over something that they forgot that we're supposed to come together as a people and fight for something. And what we're trying to do is get Americans out in the street. We take care of the least amongst us first. We hit our streets. We find the ones suffering. We let them know we love them. If they're not ready for help, we still love them. But we're going to move on and find the ones who are ready for help. Those who are ready for help, we're going to do everything in our power to give them the help, because that could be any of us at any given moment. And it's a damn shame in America when we're funding everything else, everyone else, but we don't do anything for the homeless veterans. But I mean, oh, they'll give a few grants here or there, and then the VSOs and the city and everyone else that's employed to go help homeless veterans are drawing money. No, we've got a staff of over 180 volunteers in Arizona, and none of them are paid, and they're saving lives. Think about that for a minute, and everyone needs to understand, these are people who give up their own time. They work all day. They get a few minutes with their family, then they come out here, and they patrol the streets with us one night. They run out. They extract veterans that are sleeping in bad areas, bring them out here to camp. And most of them are veterans leaving. I mean, I'm sorry, but they're leaving all the pain behind, and they're going out there in the community, and they're leading the way.
That's it's a heartrending story. It's tragic. I mean, a lot of us who grew up in military families or been ex-military, this is unacceptable. What can members of my listening audience do to help?
If you're listening right now, please understand. I mean, there are people. We've been at this for 2 months in Arizona, and what we've managed to do was wake a lot of people up and say, you can't take your nation back if you can't help your own community. Without your community, you don't have a voice to reach the state. Without the state's voice, you don't have a voice to reach D.C. Yet we can get thousands of people to go protest something in D.C. You know, there was over 150 people that protest a mosque in Phoenix, Arizona, at the same time We are running a base to pull homeless veterans off the streets. And we had to give up some of our bodies because some of our staff said, well, we're going to go to the protest, make sure it's safe. You know, and it's sad. If you want to help, put down your keyboard, put down your phone. I mean, you put that down first most. If you want to help us immediately, we're in Tucson and Phoenix. If you can help us, if you can send someone out here to help us, then we need you. But if you want to help us and you can't do that, then find people in your community. Let them know that there are homeless veterans living all around you and rally them to fight for something. You build us a list. You give me a list of 22 dedicated families. We will send you out a team to your state, your city, and personally go undercover as homeless people to give you all the information and all the intel you need to succeed in building bases across your city to help the American warfighter. We will do that. That's what we're committed to. And we don't want your money. You know, we don't want people sending us money. We don't want to get paid. What we want to see is a nation that starts caring about the war fighters. I've got a six-year-old child. Better it be I fight this fight in my lifetime than to hand it off to her. And that's not words that some founding father said. Those are words some founding father believed. And if you don't believe those words, don't say it. Because I believe in my heart, it's going to happen in my time before my child has to fight it. My commandment by God is to make sure my child inherits something better than I did. That's my commandment.
Well,
and I want to
be...
build her something to help people.
Well, Lewis, I think you're to be commended for what you've done for our veterans. And it's so rare to have someone on who's involved in an organization that's not asking for money. But from the bottom of my heart and being the son of a career military man, who is my hero, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you're doing, and I want to thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I want to thank you too, and that's the first time anyone's ever let me go off into a little rant here, but it's frustrating. You know, I want our nation to be better because I want my child to inherit something better than I did. I want to leave her something greater, and I want anyone else with children or grandchildren to listen, and we can be better. We don't hate each other. Don't listen to the media. Go talk to your neighbor. Find out if they hate you before you assume they do. God loves us all, and he loves everyone that we have problems with. So think about that before you allow hate to intervene. But I appreciate it, sir. I really do. And we need help. So anyone in Arizona, come out and help us.
Veterans on Patrol. Thanks so much, Lewis. Take care.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I want to take this minute here, this time and we got left. And first of all, let me talk about next week's show and then something close to my heart. I think bad times are ahead, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But next week, we're going to be joined by my good friend, Dr. Ted Brower, who's on the hour before we come on. And we're going to talk about some really critical geopolitical events as well as some health issues. And we're probably going in a direction you haven't heard Ted talk a lot about on his show. But we're going to force him to go there because he and I have had some off-the-books discussions that are a little bit on the frightening side, and I think it's time that we share this. Also, I wanted to call your attention, and the full article is up on thecommonsenseshow.com, to some research I've done on the words of Assistant Attorney General Carlin. And I'm going to just read you some quotes. And this is really how I want to close the show, because a lot of people, if you think we chase windmills on this show, think again. We are a nation that's supposed to be living and bound by the rule of law. We are a nation that's supposed to be honoring the Bill of Rights. We are a nation where we elect people who appoint others in our stead to protect those rights and to protect us. And right now, we've got a cabal in Washington that is doing anything but protecting us, and I view them as my single greatest threat. And here's why. From CNN. This is from the Communist News Network, folks, CNN. So no one can say that, you know, we're resource pandering here. Domestic terror groups pose a greater threat to America than ISIS or Al-Qaeda a Justice Department official said Wednesday. To help combat them, the department has created a new council that will coordinate the investigation. And so they're forming a new group. And who are they going after? Well, let's quote Assistant Attorney General John Carlin, who oversees National Security and Justice Department, and his new position is the head of the Domestic Terrorism Council. And he says he wants to go after people who are terrorists, domestic terrorists. And they shoot up schools. Good. I want you to go after those people. I don't know how you know who they are ahead of time. He also talks about the fact that he wants to go after people who are KKK and do bad things to people of color. I agree. We should be going after those people, and we should be punishing them within the bounds of our laws. But then he slips into all these myriad of terrorist groups. People that are motivated by anti-government views. They're either racist, they're bigots, or they're guilty of anarchy. Now, just because I would like to see the man who's occupying the Oval Office take an early departure through impeachment, that doesn't mean I'm anti-government, but that's how they characterize me. Because they would say, Hodges, you have an anti-government view. And then he gets into the fact that he says that our nation is bound by laws which are handicapping law enforcement. Should I say that again? Our nation is bound by laws that are handicapping his efforts to go after domestic terrorists. Well, you know what comes to mind, folks? The NDAA. And what's the NDAA? National Defense Authorization Act, which says they can snatch and grab anybody they want without due process of law, and it really speaks to indefinite detention. So if you think that this show and shows like Ted Brewer, Steve Quayle's work, Doug Hagman, John B. Wells, all my friends that you've heard on this show, you think our work is about chasing windmills, here we have the number two man in our legal system telling us that our Constitution is a legal impediment. And what does that open us up to? Tyranny of the worst type. That's what I wanted to close with tonight. This is deadly serious stuff. My thanks go out to Virginia Farver, to our last guest. Boy, was that heartrending. Katie Whalen and Dr. Teixeira. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back next week at the same time. God bless.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.